Yeah, God bless your radio audience. Evangelist Rob Wood here from Rob Wood's Ministries. If you desire to go to my website, it's www.robbw.com. And yeah, I want to get right into this today. In the book of Matthew, 3rd chapter, 11th verse, John said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." I believe the ministry of the Holy Spirit and fire is now coming on the church in a fresh way. You see, the Holy Spirit heals you for service, but the fire of God sets you up for service. It gives you passion. It gives you a drive. It gives you strength for service for Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what we've got to be about. It's about to know him and to make him known. And you know, we can never put the great commandment before the great commission. We have got to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and strength. And out of relationship, then we go ye into the world and we make disciples. We win souls, and we not only win them to get them saved, we disciple them so they stay saved. But I want to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, the third person or one of the three in the Trinity, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is probably one of the misconstrued personalities or the person of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16, he said, "I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." And you know, the word comforter or parakletos, it says, "The Spirit of truth the world cannot receive. It neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." Now here's the key: "For he dwells with you, and he will be in you." The Holy Spirit is a promise that Jesus said, it's good I'm going away, because he will dwell with you and he will dwell in you. Verse 26, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." So Holy Spirit, we activate right now people's hearts to receive this word, to receive you in a fresh way for who you are, and not only for what you can do for them, but who you can be for us as the church. John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I will depart, I will send him to you." Verse 13, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will even tell you things to come." So there's this foreknowledge. There is strategy the Holy Spirit is now downloading to the church at large to take regions locally, regionally, and then globally. And so that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Again, John says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, I want to talk about the ministry of fire. Acts chapter 2, we all know about this. The day of Pentecost had fully come. God told them to tarry, to wait in Jerusalem till they were endued with power from on high. And, you know, when they were in one accord in one place, I mean, just to get 120 people, not only in one place, but in one accord. In other words, there was unity. There wasn't division. You know, the word division simply is die. It's two people with two different visions. You know, Jesus simply said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name or in my midst, I will be there." So we've got to be about unity and not division in this hour. It says, "There came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire." Now this fire rested. It says it once sat upon each of them. So there's a flame with your name. You don't have to be try to become anybody else, but you've got to steward your own flame. You've got to steward the own candlestick in your life. It's like the wise and foolish virgins. We've got to keep our lamps trimmed and burning. So there's a flame that's sitting on individual people throughout the earth that they have got to learn to steward the very flame of God so it doesn't go out, but we've got to keep that flame burning till Jesus comes. And I love this. Ezekiel chapter 1, prophet Ezekiel had a vision. He had an encounter, massive encounter, where the heavens opened. In the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, it says, "The appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it." It said, "The appearance of his waist and downward I saw, as it was the appearance of fire." So Ezekiel saw the burning one. The book of Revelations talks about Jesus, the burning one. He has eyes of burning fire. And Isaiah 4:4, it talks about how God is going to cleanse and purge not only the church, but us individually. And we've got to realize, we've got to accept and to allow this spirit of burning to come. We've got to welcome this spirit of burning. It says the Lord will wash away the daughters of Zion, the purge Jerusalem from our midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. There is a spirit of burning that we have got to let take place in our life. This is the only way at large God will cleanse us and purge us from iniquity, from mindsets that don't agree with heaven. And we've got to position heaven to come to earth. And that's really the only way, is to allow God to purge and cleanse us. And that's how they purge metals. Gold, silver, platinum, palladium. That's how they purge pottery. The potter puts the pottery into the kiln. They turn it up. The impurities come to the surface. And the surface are the impurities, so we can come forth as fine gold in this hour. And in the book of Malachi, it says, "Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap." So you know that soap that these women put in these washing machines to get stains out. This is exactly what the Lord's doing. He's cleansing and purifying, because it's the bride of Christ without spot and wrinkle. And you know, I honestly don't know how the Lord's going to get all the wrinkles out and the spots. He's got a Holy Ghost divine ironing board, and I'm just trusting the Lord in his timing is working out the bride of Christ. Because if we study Joel 2, we see a triumphant church, a triumphant army that's going out with a bang in this hour. I love this in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5. It says, "Every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle, garments rolled in blood, will be used for burning and fuel of fire." I believe this is part of the martyr and the warrior's mantle, where the warfare we engage in, we engage in warfare, God says it's fuel for fire. It's like an incense. All of our prayers, all of our intercession is going up as fuel for fire. We are literally putting high-octane gasoline and kerosene, so there is a blaze of the glory of Jesus Christ that's coming on the church. And we see a red-hot church at large, not only in this region on Long Island, but a global move of the Spirit of God. And, you know, you say, how can God do this? Well, Ezekiel 37, prophesy to the dry bones. You know, some see dry bones, some see an army, but the Lord told Ezekiel, prophesy to the dry bones, and they shall live in this hour. We've got to entertain this hour is the good news. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're tuned in to the media of the world, whether it's the newspapers, magazines, the internet, the news on the television, the radio, you are going to get involved with deception. You're going to go off course, because they are not going to publish the good news. We've got to stay plugged in to the Word of God, into prayer. We've got to be submitted under local authority, and we have got to catapult this next generation into greater destiny, because if what we have dies with us, what have we really accomplished? You know, our ceiling has got to be this next generation's floor. And I believe the culmination of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God is the glory of God. I love the glory of God. The glory of God is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You cannot have the glory without revival. You will never have revival without the glory. The glory actually does the ministry for you. When you have the glory, you don't need to take an offering. You don't have to have an altar call. You don't have to lay hands on the sick. The glory of Jesus Christ that comes out of our pores of our spirit as we wait on Him, as we are saturated, as we are marinated and soaking in the presence of the Lord, the glory of Jesus Christ will do it for us. And I love what Sister Ruth Heflin of late said. She said, "Praise Him till the spirit of worship comes, worship till the glory comes, and just stand in the glory." And Ezekiel chapter 1 again, it says, "The appearance of a rainbow in a cloud, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord." And of course, we know Isaiah chapter 61, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." I believe I see the church, a glorious church, a glorious generation, a glorious bride. I believe there's even senior saints. In the book of Joel, it says the old men will dream dreams, and not necessarily dreaming dreams because they sleep a lot because they're old. They can dream about what's taking place, and the young men, the lions of God, are the ones that now run with the baton. And, you know, this generation is never called to replace the older generation, but they're called to come alongside it. I love Moses in the book of Exodus. He said, "Please show me your glory." He says, "I am not going unless your glory goes before me." And it says, now, I love this, Matthew chapter 16. Jesus takes three disciples with him up to a high mountain. He takes them to a higher place, which speaks of revelation, coming to a higher place in the Lord. It says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, led them on a high, and he was transfigured before them." The glory of God was so transfigured. His face shone like white wool. His clothes transfigured the glory. And, you know, Peter Piper, and he says, "We've got a canvas. Let's put this in a box. Let's build a shelter." And Jesus says, no. Let's not contain the glory inside the four walls of a church, but let's let God out of the box. Let's let God out of the bag. In other words, the church, the local houses, are for the training and the equipping of the saints, Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry, the coaches of God that get the church at large outside onto the playing field so they can score points so we can have victory in the name of Jesus Christ. So I believe it's the church's greatest hour, not only in this local region, but regionally, globally. God bless your radio audience, Evangelist Rob Wood. And again, if you want to go to my website, www.robw.com. That's Rob with two B's. God bless you today.